sweet Valentine's. Welcome to the SmackDown post show for February 14th. We're so excited you could join us for tonight's SmackDown review here on Fightful YouTube. You guys have been showing out with support so much this week. Lots going on. And because of that, lots going on FightfulSelect.com, which we're going to tell you about in just a moment. But before we get into that, we are going to ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video. We're trying to spike us in the algorithms, trying to help more people find us, but you guys have been finding us and it's awesome because we have 126,000 plus subscribers. We've been kind of hovering around the 125K mark for a while, and then I looked up and I was like, oh dang, we passed it all at once. So thank you so much for the support. If you could keep it going, it would mean a lot. Also, let us know what you thought about SmackDown in the comment section as well. We'd love getting your feedback on the episode, getting your feedback on this SmackDown post show as well. So leave comments there too. And we'll also remind you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. The Josh Alexander news, the likely him going to AEW possibility is reported on FightfulSelect.com. That is a fantastic pickup for AEW. Josh Alexander has been doing great work for a really long time. Was very vocal about wanting to be in the G1 as well. So I think that that relationship, of course, with New Japan is probably enticing, probably pretty enticing to Josh Alexander, but he could do some really, really great things with this current AEW roster. Very excited to see where he will slot into that. So news all week at FightfulSelect.com, though, details on Ricky Starks and his WWE contract, or the lack thereof. We don't know his name in WWE yet because that came together in like a 24-hour period. So we will see what's to come. But that definitely injects the NXT roster to some much-needed love in that men's singles division. So much more on FightfulSelect.com. But we are going to get into this episode of SmackDown. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We're going to talk all about it. We've got Charlotte choosing Tiffany Stratton. I thought that was like a highlight of the night for sure. But this episode kind of felt pretty long, Alex. We were talking about it, and some of this rematch stuff is really starting to hurt now. Like LA Knight and Shinsuke again. Their talent rotation, not so great on the SmackDown side, and overall in WWE, it's just like these guys occupy these pictures and everybody else just kind of slots in around that. That's something that I had a big complaint with AEW about, but they've really recently turned a corner on that. LA Knight and Shinsuke, again, man, like, we've been there, done that. I'm noticing that with a lot of feuds. That Judgment Day feud went on forever. Liv and Rhea were just preoccupied with only themselves forever. That is starting to wear on me. But I'm intrigued to see what happens when Chad Gable joins this brand, because it occurred to me the other day. I was like, oh, the guy that was in American Top Team, American Alpha, and now American Made and all this. So, like, I'm excited about all the possibilities with that. So if he shows back up after he masters the dark arts doing lucha or whatever he went away to do, I'm excited about those possibilities. But the pacing tonight just was not there for me. How did you feel about this episode?
Oh my God. We were just, like you mentioned, we were just talking about it. And it just felt like I left the room, I came back, and like none of the matches were moving. None of the segments were progressing. And it's weird because SmackDown has kind of been on a little bit of a roll where they've been pushing a lot of the backstage segments, a lot of cool things happening, even in front of the camera in the ring. You know, they've been threading a lot of new storylines. Like, there's a lot of things happening and moving. And today it felt like it just slowed down just a bit. But not only did it slow down, but we kind of now are threading a little bit more of the bloodline back into things again, like we used to.
Yeah, I gotta say, every time Jacob Fatu is on screen, I am overwhelmingly impressed. That guy really, really screams top of the card. Screams should be a champion sooner than later, but some good stuff and some bad stuff. I think part of why tonight felt like a little bit more of a slog is we're also now getting more used to what SmackDown looks like at 3 hours of, like, now I'm starting to expect multiple women's matches a show. Now I'm starting to expect more tag team wrestling. So the freshness of them breaking up the groove is kind of over. And now I'm like, okay, but what are we actually doing with efficiency within those refreshing things. And so that's starting to grow a little bit stale on me. But we did have some undeniably great stuff happening on the show. And I actually really loved what we got out of this. Tiffany, Naya, Trish, and Charlotte segment ultimately kind of coming in to choose Tiffany, which I think most of us were expecting. I thought this was very, very well done. So my only thing is, we get this really great match out of Tiffany and Naya. And what was interesting to me is Naya is a hardened heel. Tiffany has still been kind of this, I'm the best low-key brat, but really good persona, which isn't face. But when she faces Naya, she kind of is a face because the match is structured so that she's the underdog with this, right? Like, she kind of has to be in order to make this match work. And it made me wonder, I was like, if this is more of a babyface match and she's leaning more babyface, the crowd obviously loves her. What are we going to do with Charlotte Flair? Because it feels like she needs to be heel for a lot of reasons. One, just the fan reaction of her like coming back into the title picture. You have to lean into that as the story. I was looking at the comments section of WWE, and I saw a Fightful Online comment, and I got very nervous, but I was confirmed that it was Sean, so we were not hacked, but he had said, under the Fightful Online persona, thank you very much, follow us on Instagram, he had said, like, Charlotte cannot be a face in this feud, and she responded and said, why not, and he said, because of dynasties. Nobody liked the Yankees except for me. When they were occupying everything, nobody liked the Patriots when they were occupying everything except for Patriots fans. Nobody liked, like, so many of the Eagles fans in this last Super Bowl were people that were like, I don't want to see the Chiefs win again. So that was his reasoning. And I think we kind of saw that come to life a lot tonight. But I really liked this match. I liked the way that it was laid out. If we are starting to turn Tiffany heel or face, the problem is the ending. Why on earth would Candice LeRae essentially cost Nia Jax a championship match? It makes no sense. It's the second time they've done it this week. I hate that ending. I do like Tishy and Tiffy. Trishy and Tiffy teaming up at Elimination Chamber. I thought that was a clever way to invite Trish Stratus into the picture because she's going to be a super, super over hot tag. It lets you run this back without running back another title defense proper. And then Charlotte, I thought, post-match, we have the steel chair from Candice LeRae. She gets run off by Trish, but Charlotte knew how to make all of that work. And I like that she just is kind of taunting Tiffany Stratton, saying, wake up, Tiffy. It's still Tiffy time. I choose you for WrestleMania. So I thought that was well done. And I've actually really liked Charlotte's return. I understand why people are fatigued on the comeback because she immediately walked into the title picture again. But I like that they're kind of leaning into it. And every time she's been in the ring, I've been excited. I liked what she did at Royal Rumble. I thought her promos across all three brands about who she was going to choose were convincing and good. So if you don't like the booking, I get it. But I feel like Charlotte is stepping into the picture as she should.
Yeah, you know what? She's starting to start to heat up. And again, she's playing that fine line in the middle, right? We don't know whether she's a face. We don't know if she's going to like turn on any. Like, I don't know. I don't feel like there's a.
Well, tonight I do.
Well, yeah. But like, when she talks and when she tries to connect with the crowd versus what she's doing in the ring, they're totally different things, you know? So to me, it's just like I'm trying to figure out where they're going to go with her. Obviously, man, like for me, I just feel like she is 100% just going to be that heel. Like that. I mean, like, I don't see her as anything else. I don't think she really connects with the crowd as a face at all. And I don't think, can I be honest with you, for you to have, first of all, Charlotte's very, very powerful in the sense that she commands the attention in the ring. So you're not going to have her pretty much join the good side of things because there's no one who's heel enough in the company to trump her.
Well, certainly in WWE, they have a proclivity to make faces underdogs. Like, it's gotten a little bit better, but for a long time, the only person breaking that mold was Becky Lynch. If you were a face, you were an underdog baby face. They knew no other type of face. And I agree with you. Charlotte I think is infinitely better as a heel. Like, I think she seems more comfortable whenever she's a heel. And, like, I'm all about crowd dictating that, right? Like, it's organic. She's getting booed. Lean into it. Why not? I think the tweener stuff that you're kind of seeing probably is, one, she's always going to be really over in NXT. So when she did that NXT promo, she was kind of a face. And two, Tiffany's been working pretty heel up to this point. So I think they had to evaluate things and say, okay, are we fully turning Tiffany Stratton face? How do you feel about that?
She's also going to have to need some work, because even when she was in the back with Trish, it just didn't feel right. I was kind of waiting for like a shoe to drop, sort of speak, right? Like, I was waiting, is she going to like punch out poor Trish Stratus? Like, is she just kind of using Trish as her own like meat shield right now, you know? So like, I'm kind of trying to figure out where she's going to go with that. But the crowd is behind her. So she is the face for you know, that the crowd actually needs right now, especially on the SmackDown side.
I agree. And it's funny because she's always played, and her words, I think she had said kind of like this bratty or bitchy persona. She was interviewed by Sean. Those interviews actually just went up on our social media and I think our YouTube as well, just snippets of them that you can go see. But she said, you know, when she went to Australia for Elimination Chamber, the crowd was way behind her. She was doing moonsaults off the pod, so like, of course, but they've maintained this momentum of being behind her since, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with her character-wise. I think this is the right call, but Crew Kid says, you know, it bothers me that they're feeding Tiffy to Charlotte. Tiffy just won the title. I think this is actually going to be a test of the quote-unquote new era. If the booking is Charlotte goes over Tiffany, it's going to feel like we kind of really haven't changed all that much, right? If Tiffany gets made a star and is allowed to continue through, I feel like that's going to be like, okay, we're actually doing things differently. Now, I say that with the caveat that if Charlotte wins at Mania and Tiffany somehow works her way back by SummerSlam and wins, I don't mind that, because Charlotte's going to get nuclear heat off of that. And if Tiffany becomes a longer-term champion by SummerSlam, I don't mind that at all. I actually feel like they should do that with Mercedes and Harley Cameron. I think Harley Cameron should win this
weekend.
And then I think Mercedes should win it back at Revolution. There is not enough hot potatoing titles in wrestling right now. At all. So
it's funny that you mentioned that.
Potato.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because a lot of people don't like the hot potatoing. But as of late, wrestling titles have been held for the long run. There's something going on. Ever since AEW stepped into the scene, both companies have now set these champions to be their faces for long periods of times. Not that it didn't happen in the past, but it wasn't to the longevity that it is now, where people actually hold these titles for. I mean, you saw Roman Reigns hold it for. I mean, you could have started college, graduated college, and Roman Reigns was still your goddamn champion, you know? So
I'm with you on that, and I don't like a lot of hot potatoing. I don't know if AEW has ever done it. It's funny that I'm bringing up Charlotte and Mercedes, because they were some of the most effective, more recent era hot tags of like their whole feud kind of made both of them with the hot potatoing of that. So I don't want it to be a constant. They kind of did it with Jey Uso and Bron Breakker, but to the point where people forgot Jey Uso was an IC title champion. So I don't think that was effective. But I think there's value in the hot potato title if you do it so that when the heel comes back around to win, they get nuclear heat. Like, Mercedes beating Harley back would be nuclear heat. I feel like Tiffany winning the title back from Charlotte would put her mega over. So I think there's ways to do it correctly. I just don't like when people hot potato titles for no real
reason. I mean, we've seen that, plenty of that, of stuff like that happen before. But I mean, even the mid-card titles, I don't think there's any more lower end titles. I mean, the European titles, light heavyweight titles, those things like that used to be kind of that low end title run that people would go after. But now, you know, you got over AEW, you got, you know, the TNT championship for the women, the TBS. Now in WWE, nothing feels like it's a lower end title anymore. Hopefully, the women's tag team titles, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, it, you know, kind of also, and the men's, but we'll. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Keep those super chats and humper chats coming. We got me, Norma, saying, happy Clementine's Day.
Yes.
I made my tortillas too thick, so they're gorditas, not tacos. If you can't be with the one you love, F it, let's crank. Well, I am with the ones that I love because I'm with all of you guys tonight. And I get to be with Alex. So hell yeah. Vicky L saying, hey, Kate, Alexis, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you, Vicky. Always so wonderful and supportive. Not liking the belted folks trying for the chamber. We're going to talk about that too. Kevin and Sammy, again, not sure I like. Charlotte is great. We're going to talk about the work that Sammy and Kevin did because I'm actually now way back in on that after what we got from them tonight. But me, Norma's wishing a happy birthday to the amazing Vicky L. Happy freaking
wow, birthday. Vicky doesn't mention anything, just comes in here.
No, that's not her style, man. She's
I don't care, like... Vicky. How dare you? Someone block Vicky and make sure she doesn't come back.
How dare
until
you?
She mentions that it's her birthday right off the top of the show.
Happy, you know what? She's actually like one of the most loving and supportive people in our ecosystem. So the fact that she was born on Valentine's Day, a day of celebrating love, is quite perfect. Quite perfect. Elite biscuits. Now look, there are some good biscuits out there. Okay.
Aren't those cookies, or we're talking biscuits? Are we American biscuits, or are we talking overseas biscuits, which are cookies?
I don't know. It's,
did I just confuse
it's
you?
Up to the no.
Okay, just, sorry.
I don't have the answer because it's up to the. There's good cookies, and there's great cookies, and there's excellent cookies. Okay, there's good biscuits, there's great biscuits, there's excellent biscuits, but it's not every day that there are elite biscuits that are hanging out in the chat. Saying, sitting on the corner for the Uber after the show. Show was fun. Crowd felt hotter for the TIFF match than the triple threat, but loved Fatu. Fatu is, man, next level S, okay? I also feel as though the women's segment should have closed the show, though. I do. I definitely do.
I'm so biased to that. I want it all the time, too.
I know. Well, it was a title defense, first of all, as opposed to a triple threat qualifier. And you had Charlotte choosing her opponent for Mania. And, like, visually, a very cool shot to close the show. Like, Tiffany writhing in pain on the ground, not knowing where she was. And Charlotte sitting in the chair, leaning over her and taunting her in her awesome outfit. Ah! Aces, aces, aces. I love all of that. But keep those super chats and humper chats coming. My goodness, let's dig into some more of this episode of SmackDown. Let's actually, let's dig into, what do we want to talk about next? Actually, let's talk about this Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax backstage segment.
Oh.
A lot happened in a very little time. We got our first Wyatt 6 reference to Alexa Bliss, which was very cool. And I liked this little on-screen interaction where Alexa Bliss comes up to Nia and kind of, like, nudges her a little bit and was like, unfortunate stuff, huh? And Nia's like, actually, I'm pretty used to getting betrayed by people that I once called my friend. Thank you so much. Alluding to their history a little bit. And then we see the Wyatt 6 kind of visual cut into frame. So it seems like they're not really wasting a lot of time with trying to get Alexa back into this. If there is a her and Nikki Cross tag team that challenges for the titles at Mania, I'm all for that. I'm intrigued to see what that would look like. I think there's some really interesting stuff that could go on there. But it's just hard for me to get excited about the women's tag division because they just continually start to dismiss it. But I think that pairing or that alliance could get really, really fun. I also liked after the segment kind of cleared, there's always like...
Wouldn't you love to kick back with a great cigar, especially during that cool evening weather? It's the perfect time to relax with friends, maybe watch a game, or enjoy a nice evening outside. When it comes to finding the best cigars, Cigars International is the go-to. They've got everything. Whether you're looking for a classic favorite or trying something new, Cigars International never disappoint. They're the go-to retailer for all things cigars, the biggest selection, and they have unbeatable deals and discounts. And we've got one for you here. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order. They've got fast shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. Visit CigarsInternational.com/Fightful or use code Fightful at checkout for 20% off orders, $50 or more, plus free shipping on your entire order.
His little, we're just talking nonsensical stuff, but Naya goes, I was talking about me, or I was talking about her. Just blatantly goes, I was talking about her when she was referring to the person that betrayed her once they were friends. So I just thought that was really cute, but this has been kind of a hot topic of recent Cardoza. Like, do we want Goddess Alexa Bliss back? Do we want creepy Alexa Bliss back? Do we want her sucked up into the Wyatt Six, which is kind of a combination of something new and something old? I'm intrigued by this. The Wyatt Six not being on screen need something to get them back on screen, so that would be neat. They were such a promising act when this started. How are you feeling about Alexa, and which version of her were you kind of gravitating toward?
You know, her, it was short-lived, right? The evil Alexa in the Wyatt, like, there was a lot of freaky things happening within that storyline. There was some things that people didn't like.
Therapy. She was.
Yeah. There was, you know, the therapy sessions. That one lasted a little bit too long when we talk about things that, you know, sometimes get played out a little bit. But I do feel like if it was me booking this for her or for them, this is free advice here, WWE. I know you're watching and listening. I would 100% go with bring her back into the Wyatt for the short run. Doesn't have to be for the rest of the year or whatever, right? And just kind of make her maybe the leader, maybe have a little bit of a back and forth with Uncle Howdy, right? Because she is the ultimate, like, she was always above Uncle Howdy. So yeah, why can't she
very
come back?
Directly connected to Bray? Yeah.
So, you know, we understand the Uncle Howdy. We understand the person who is, because he's already demasked and kind of had that therapy session himself in front of those vignettes, in front of the camera. So I would do something along the lines of that. And then eventually, because she has a long enough contract, you could always bring back the other Alexa Blisses that they have, which they have plenty of. Harley, sure. Alexa, Crazy Alexa, you know, so on
I
and so on.
I loved Goddess Alexa.
Yeah,
I
Goddess
she,
Alexa.
She nailed that so well.
And I think if you're going to bring back Goddess Alexa, it has to be directly connected to possibly being part of a title run, because that's the type of character that we associate Goddess Alexa with. You can't just throw her out there for nothing just to, like, have matches and whatnot. So I think if she were to do Wyatt stuff, you separate her, she kind of gets back, you know, into her senses, and she becomes who she becomes, and that's it.
I agree with you, and I also feel like Goddess Alexa is a little too close to Tiffany, and I think Tiffany
very close. Yeah,
yeah, she's killing it at this, and could surpass that from an in-ring standpoint. So you don't want to get into a replay of archetypes on your show. And there's so many creatively interesting things that could happen with the Wyatt Six and her. It feels like the booking really got off track for that faction. We now know there's also an injury that's preventing them from being on screen. But, like, Rob V, who was doing excellent work with the way that got rolled back out, the production around everything they did was so compelling. And then it just kind of didn't live up to what they said it was going to be from the creative and booking support behind it. So I think because Alexa was so intimately connected to the character that Bray had, like, she could be his conduit, she could be something completely different. Like, there's so many interesting possibilities that I want to see unfold. So I, as of right now, am very intrigued by that. I just hope that they have a very, very, very clear plan for what that's going to look like. The people in charge of that are ones that I would trust to play into that, because they were so nuanced with the detail of how Wyatt Six came together. But I'll tell you who else we can trust around these parts, Alex.
Oh, who's that?
I tell you 100% who we can go for, and that is NordVPN. I'm a proud NordVPN customer.
Of course you are.
I saved a bunch of money at Fightful, and I watched SmackDown on Netflix tonight, so how about that? But NordVPN, a huge, huge partner to us. They've been so wonderful, and I'm going to let Sean tell you all about him, but I got to say, like, authentically, it's very nice to come on here and talk to the quality of partners that we have, like NordVPN. And genuinely, as a wrestling fan, there's never a better time to have a VPN service, because pay-per-view costs, wanting to be able to watch certain programs on different platforms and things like that, there's, and just to keep your internet secure and safe. So I'm going to let Sean tell you all about them, but I've been very, very happy with being a customer of theirs of recent. And it's nice to be able to come on here and talk about our sponsors really authentically with, like, all aces on our side.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
We got this chat from Will that said, the thing is, Alexis has said she always wanted to do the Bray stuff. I get fans don't like it, but she did. Yeah, this was the type of character she always wanted to pursue. And above all else, outside of people having really bad ideas, I am all for talent getting to do what they want to do on a platform. I feel that way about any artist in general.
Sure.
The Wyatt Six, of course, taking over my lighting rig. I'm so excited. I'm upgrading everything this weekend. I'm very, very excited.
We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yes, we have. I'm getting a new PC.
Wait, what? Hold on. Breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking right now at FIFO News Network, FNN. Kate.
We literally have a new site and you made one up.
Kate is getting a wait, I'm hearing it. A PC.
I am.
I want to thank John.
All of y'all were wrong, by the way.
And everyone, our producers here.
It's not that the MacBook Air can't handle it. It's that my MacBook Air can't handle it because it's old and tired.
So your MacBook Air from that specific year has... Listen, it's done its run.
No. Mine, not the year. Just my specific one is very beat to hell.
We'll blame you then. I was just trying to take a little heat off of you, but if this is the way it's going to be...
You know what's crazy? We're taking a little detour from SmackDown talk. Excuse us. What's crazy is I did not know. I have not looked for a desktop in years. I did not know, like, minis were a thing, that they're just these little boxes that are towerless now.
Yeah.
And how powerful they are to how cheap they are. Holy crap. So I'm very, very excited. That'll be here over the weekend. So
what
I'm
did
excited
you get?
About that. Whatever my dad orders. he's worked at IBM his whole career. He knows this stuff better than I do, but they pack a lot of punch.
Is it a Mac or a regular PC?
It's a PC. It's a PC mini. They're beastly now. Like, it's crazy the processing speeds now and the storage.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know their game. So I'm excited to get
I'm excited.
I am
everyone.
Too, and I'm going to get new lights, and I'm getting a new webcam. I'm excited.
Just when you thought 2025 was going down a hole.
It for sure is, but my studio
is
going to look better.
Now Kate is getting a studio upgrade, and she'll have it long enough that it'll work until that meteor hits us in 2032.
That's right. I'm excited. It'll be a fun way to go out.
I hope it happens while we're here live on the air.
Get in your super chats. Get in your Umper chats. What do you guys think of Alexa Bliss? Let us know. I know there's people that have been on both sides of that just want to see a normal presentation. Then some people that are like, yes, bring her back to this specifically. But Ricardo says, hola to my Friday crushes.
Ooh.
Man, we got a good weekend of wrestling ahead of us. The Vengeance Day card for NXT looks great. Yes. Grand Slam looks awesome.
Yes.
I'm excited. I'm genuinely excited about a lot of matches on an NXT card, which is not something I always get to say. So
we got a lot of good wrestling going on, and I just saw a picture. I believe the kids call it the AEW is doing their Grand Slam event tomorrow.
All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, and I saw a picture. They are using the entire stadium. So there is the set that they're using is the minimalistic set that they used at All In. So it is what is looking maybe 13,000. I don't know. We don't use numbers here, but yeah.
Okay.
I don't like, you know, I'm not saying my sources either because I don't like dropping names.
You love dropping names.
Oh, there
we have a bit on the show about you dropping names.
Wow, I wonder what's talked about me behind the scenes at Fightful News Network here.
Oh, we talk so much ass. That's how everybody at Fightful spends it. Sean's not busy enough, so he just spends all of his time talking ass.
Wow.
Alex had said, but don't you want to see Cody insinuate himself into everything? Stop. Let's talk about this.
The Codemaster, Cody.
Drew McIntyre came out in this and said, you are not beating the bad friends allegations, sir. I actually really liked what we got from Drew, especially in this. But Jacob Fatu, man, strap him up with every title, except Yoba Femi's, but everybody else's titles. Oh, my God, this guy is awesome. He said hardly anything, and he said everything he needed to say. But we get Cody coming out. He does this very well. I just don't particularly like the thing that he does. But I can't argue with the fact that he does it well. Mm-hmm. John Cena used to do this. This is probably why I don't like it. Because I came into wrestling at the time where John Cena just won everything. And I got very bored very quick. But it's almost like that show narrator thing that like recaps everything that's going on. Cody's excellent at it. I just find it boring because I watch all the shows, so I don't need this. But he says that Jey Uso has chosen Gunther, so who's it going to be for him? Is it going to be Logan? Is it going to be Punk? Is it going to be Drew? Is it going to be Cena? And he names all of these accolades for everybody but Drew McIntyre. And he says, well, it ain't going to be Solo Sikoa because he didn't qualify. He says, I don't believe that Samoan Spike last week was for me. And Drew McIntyre comes out and he says, oh, and also Drew McIntyre is all I get. And Cody repeats it. And Drew says, oh, yeah, just Drew McIntyre, you know, who won Elimination Chamber, who's a world champion, who won Royal Rumble, who's a Money in the Bank winner. He says, and I hugged you last week, obviously with the purest of intentions.
Always.
And he put himself out there to the world, and Cody tried to fight him because Cody's not a good friend. I'm starting to believe all the heels. And he also says, I was trying to handle my business with Sami Zayn, and then what happened? You attacked me. And he'll have to remind Cody Rhodes who he is. And I like this a lot from Cody. He says, man, since I've come back, I can count the amount of people that have beat me on one hand, and you're one of them. And I haven't forgotten that. And then Jacob Fatu comes in, and he doesn't care for anybody's nonsense, quite frankly.
Yeah.
He says, I'm all gas, no brakes tonight. I'm going to dog walk everybody that I'm in this Elimination Chamber qualifier for. And I love this. He says, I'm going to bring this title back to the family where it belongs. And this is also great. Drew says, I think the people want to see the psychopath versus the werewolf. But we'll throw down a different time. But he just pieces the hell out. He wants no part of Jacob Fatu, which I thought was like actually very endearing. And then Solo Sikoa shows up, and Fatu says he has family business to settle, and Cody says, you can have the first word, I'm getting the last. I love Jacob Fatu's role in all of this, and I love the way that they're presenting him. Yeah. I love that he's like, I still want to bring the title to bring it back to the family, but he's being nondescript, because at this stage of the episode, he doesn't know what's going on with Solo Sikoa. So maybe he actually agrees with Roman Reigns, but he knows that the gold is supposed to be in his bloodline. Sure. I love the fact that he started to get vague about, it's not I love you Solo anymore, it's I want to win this title and bring it back to my family members. Which ones? I don't really know at this point. Yeah. Loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Later in the episode, in a much more intimidating and cool fashion, Jacob Fatu basically says, "What the f- is going on, Solo Sikoa?" And I love this from Solo, who's in a very monochromatic white outfit, by the way. He says, "Man, I haven't been myself since I lost to Roman. I've let you down. I let everybody down. But we got to get back on track. We have to do it as a unit." And that starts with Fatu winning his Elimination Chamber qualifier. And Solo Sikoa says, on Valentine's Day, he says, "I love you, Jacob Fatu." Which I just think is very sweet.
He's such a player.
And also we learned, don't be backstage and a chump around Jacob Fatu, because he'll just beat your ass for no reason. That all happens tonight. So I'm very intrigued by Jacob Fatu in general. And I like the way that Solo Sikoa has come back. And I love him just being like, man, he just took accountability. Like, he was like, that was on me. I lost. I haven't been the same since. This I actually thought was really great. The Cody stuff is good enough. And Drew wanting to peace out and have no part of Jacob Fatu popped me tremendously. I was in stitches about that. But what did you think of all of this setup before the main event?
Well, I mean, they're doing a really good job of keeping Jacob in the front of the camera, keeping him strong, making him readily available to just beat the crap out of anyone at any given notice. Like, he's exactly what I thought he was going to be when they first hired him and brought him into WWE. Like, sure. He's going to be a machine. And, you know, whether they want to continue having him being attached to the family, the Bloodline family, I don't know. Like, should they? I think at some point you kind of want to branch them off and see where they go, you know, and really show off their strengths on an individual level. Because it seems every time that the Bloodline's together, it's never just individual storylines. Someone's always getting involved in something. I mean, it happened today. So, you know.
Well, what's interesting is, I love this from Will. He says, Solo showed weakness and that's how Jacob is going to turn on him. I think that's very possible. But I also like that Solo's probably the heel and he just took more accountability than Roman Reigns has.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting to me. Like, in Cody and KO, I felt like Cody was more justified than, or KO was more justified than Cody. And Solo Sikoa versus Roman Reigns, jury is still out on this. I kind of love that. Because the crowd has chosen, but in storyline, like, I don't know about you, but I personally have not fully forgiven Roman Reigns yet. So I'm very intrigued by this. Like, I felt like it was a pretty fresh through line tonight. And right here is Solo versus Jacob, a Mania match. I think it'll probably be a multi-man match, and that's where the turn happens, I'm guessing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm most likely. I think that's just, you know what, we're kind of trained to think that way, right? So I think that's exactly how it'll happen. Unless they change the playbook, which WWE has been doing a lot as of late, sure. You know, just getting in front of someone's face and saying, hey, you know, I don't like you. You know what I'm saying? But, today there was a lot of misses. I mean, you saw it happen for Tama Tonga. Did I say it right? Tama Tonga? Tonga Tonga.
Yes.
Tonga
Law.
Yeah. Got hit with a freaking, you know, got smacked in the mouth. So, you know, they're already showing the cracks, basically. So, you know, I think that way, I think we're just trained that way. I think WWE has us, you know, that's their playbook. Will they shy away from it? I would be surprised. And if they did, that would be kind of crazy, right? Like, just straight up rip the Wolfman shirt off and just say, we're fighting.
The thing with Fatu is, you're going to want gold around his waist sooner than later.
For sure.
I don't know which belt that is. I don't know which belt that is.
Well, it depends on where he's at. That's the thing.
Yeah, if he's, like, challenging Roman, that feels very top of the card. If he's, like, if he needs to win the U.S. title to bring that story into a different picture, I don't know. Like, that's always been a show-dominating top-of-the-card story. So, going to be tricky. Going to be tricky, but...
Yeah.
Alexis...
Jacob That's my Fatu. Government name, if you guys want to know my real name later.
Jacob Fatu said he was all gas, no breaks tonight, but sometimes you're not all gas.
Don't do it.
You're not all breaks. Sometimes maybe you're all breaks when you want more guests, but the point is you need a little bit of help. Bluechew.com.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with Bluechew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
Yeah, mailman.
First of all, that mailman was way too happy in his business attire going down the street delivering Blue Chew packages.
Love their jobs, okay?
Inside the house just was a little way too happy to flipping tables, Housewives of New Jersey style.
We're like, trying to move a product here, man.
My goodness. I, too, want to flip tables. So take a Blue Chew and you will.
Will saying Roman gets away with it because he's cool and good looking. Kate, look, I know what that's like. Okay, you can get away with a lot of nonsense when you're really cool. And
same. Kind of sexy sometimes. When I'm alone in a bathroom looking at myself in the mirror saying, you're a sexy guy.
Just flexing. Yeah. Here for it. Here for it.
Look at me go.
Well,
that's the end of the show, everyone.
No, we got a lot more SmackDown to talk about, actually. So get in those super chats, get in those humper chats, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $6 in the biz.
Sticks.
Scoops City over there, okay? Including the scoop about Ricky Starks and the details that followed. Some good stuff on that. But I bring that up because someday Ricky Starks and LA Knight are going to be in a promo battle, and Who freaking boy that's going to feed families, because we had some fun stuff out of LA Knight tonight, and I actually really like what The Miz brought to the table here as well. His more recent usage has been a little bit better, so I am here for it. This match probably didn't need to go as long as it did, but let's dig in to all of this. Shinsuke comes out, and I'm going to use the A word. I'm going to use the aura word because...
Oh, boy.
This was a very interesting point brought up by Mansoor and Mason Madden on their MXM streams. I really liked what they had to say about this, and I've been thinking about it since they've said it. When people say aura, a lot of times what they're referring to is a guy holding a title belt above his head while fireworks are going off in the background.
Oh.
Aura is bigger than that. And I feel like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn had more aura than a lot of people in their hotel room and on their phone tonight. Aura meets great production is the Shinsuke Nakamura package. Like, this has been... Shinsuke has been, always had an unrepeatably him aura about himself since he was in Chaos in New Japan.
Yeah.
Like, there's always been something so special and unique to him. And it feels like WWE production has gotten on board in this really great way. And so when you have somebody that has the A word, aura, supported in this way, like, man, that's magical. And that's actually something that all of Japanese wrestling does very well. Happens in New Japan, happens in Noah. I'm sure it happens in other promotions that I wish I could keep up on better. I'm sure Stardom does a great job. But... like, I love seeing that. And he comes out and he gives a promo and he says that he's been waiting for a proper challenger, but there's no warriors around here. It's the same weak guys, and that he's been hiding in the shadows waiting for somebody to show that they're a warrior, to show that they're a worthy challenger. And my God, is there nobody else in their employ? Like, what? Why do we have to run Judgment Day into the ground? Why do we have to run Rhea and Liv into the ground? Why do we have to run LA Knight and Shinsuke Nakamura into the ground? Like, can we move on from stuff? But if we can't move on, this was an all right way to go about business. LA Knight comes out and says he is the test and that Shinsuke already failed it. And I loved him being like, hey, last time we met, I dropped you on your head, if you don't remember. So I like that part of it, of him being like, you're saying I'm not a warrior, but like, you did not definitively beat me the last time that we were in the ring together. And then out comes The Miz. And he said that he has felt like LA Knight was a flash in the pan. He can't believe WWE fans are still eating his same old shtick. And that it proves that WWE fans are uneducated. Because I was like, oh no, Alex Blavatsky agrees with The Miz on something. He thinks they're all rubes out there. But he says that he sees what Shinsuke Nakamura sees, that LA Knight isn't worthy. And LA Knight comes out on all cylinders saying, I have the same old shtick you've been talking about your accolades for the past decade, and you haven't won anything in that time. Like, you have not been a dominant figure around here. He says to take a page out of John Cena's book and do a farewell tour because everyone is ready to see him go away. You get crocodile tears from The Miz, who says, I learned last week it was okay to cry, which is the appropriate response from the heel to do. And LA Knight says, shocker, you've missed the point once again. There's a difference between a good, healthy, normal cry and being a crybaby. And at the top of that list is Drew McIntyre and The Miz. And The Miz basically says that he touts his resume because it's actually impressive and LA Knight is not, and that he will crumble once he loses again. And he says, if John Cena can call his shot, I'm going to call mine. And this ends with The Miz calling him an impotent dork. And now I'm very upset that I already used my Blue Chew segue.
Yeah.
Bad on me. Bad on me. But we get what we kind of expect out of this. This didn't, like, light up the ring necessarily, but it did have a nice finish with the blunt force trauma. LA Knight winning, but, like, this segment outkicked the coverage on the mic for what it gave us, to be honest. Like, I have no interest, really, in, like, LA Knight and The Miz that much, except that talking on the mic is both of their strengths, probably. Yeah. But, like, I don't need to see LA Knight versus Shinsuke again. I definitely don't need to see The Miz versus Shinsuke. Like, I don't like the framework, but I thought, considering, they filled it in pretty well.
Yeah, you know, Shinsuke has been used very well this time around. His aura, like you like to mention, the A word, is above and beyond. And honestly, I don't want to see Miz and LA Knight. I think that they can talk forever, both of them. I think they can go back and forth. That would be fun to kind of watch. But other than that, have we tried to see any competition towards Shinsuke that is meaningful?
Oh my God. It's just, no. Like, that's exactly how I felt. I'm looking at this roster and all of the men that are underutilized, and it's like, if the notion is, like, there's these selected people that get picked.
Yeah.
And they get to hunt around the top in the middle of the card, and everybody else just kind of falls away. Like, Carmelo Hayes is fighting R-Truth, and he squashes him in 3 minutes tonight. Less than that. You gotta be kidding me with that. Like, you gotta be kidding me with that. Him and Bron Breakker, I reviewed NXT, I still review NXT every week. It was Carmelo and Bron Breakker, and it was like, those are your two guys. When you call them up, don't screw them up. Bron Breakker, boom, million miles an hour. Took a while to get him started, but once they did, they unlocked something and he's doing great. Carmelo, job a bunch for evidently no reason, beat Tozawa, beat R-Truth. What are we doing?
Yeah.
This is like your Shawn Michaels of the future type guy. And I mean that sincerely, both in ring and personality wise. Like, has that kind of vibe about him. Shawn Michaels booked him. I think he knows what he's capable of. They hand him off here, and what are we doing? Like, other than making Duke Hudson's videos look really good this week, I don't understand. So, I liked the context of this, but I'm fully with you on, like, can we get contenders that aren't the same contenders out here?
Yeah, I don't know why it's lacking. It shouldn't, specifically with the fact that I think it's just everyone's that's meaningful is somehow chasing Elimination Chamber matches, and you know, they're involved in some type of match that's, you know, chasing the World Heavyweight Championship. So he's just floating around. And I don't want to see him and AJ either. Like, or AJ tried to
show. Shane and AJ, that already.
Like, yeah, we saw that already. I think that was the closest one. AJ's on Raw now, right?
Yes.
No. Correct. Yes, okay. Yeah. So even if they somehow switch or whatever, that's the last meaningful one. So I don't want to see that again. That's crazy.
It is pretty nice.
Unless you build up Carmelo again.
That would be nice. I would like that very much. Top of nice. Valley saying, you both are really, really ridiculously good looking. Well, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
God.
Fellow merman.
Take me out to E first, please. And then
we got a Zoolander reference in the chat, and we got an Anchorman Sex Panther.
Whoa.
Reference on commentary tonight. I got to say, I like Joe Tessitore, Vic Joseph, and Wade Barrett tonight. Whoo boy, their chemistry is fantastic.
Because they're wrestling guys.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be 100% with you. If you got wrestling guys in there, it's going to sound and feel much better. And Pat's been in doing this now long enough that I kind of sort of like some of his stuff. But even he is just a little bit over the top sometimes. I don't want to harp because then I'm going to get the DMs.
I get it. But I liked him.
When did Tony Khan last pay you?
I liked him more a year ago than I do now, which is the problem. Like,
yeah, he's you're right. He's gotten a little bit over the top. Just a little bit.
Alan Jeanette saying, hey, Kate and Alexis, hope all is well. My kitty passed away today, so I'm a little blue.
Oh, I'm so sorry about
Thanks
that.
Thanks for helping me have a good distraction. I'm so sorry. When my dog died, I was a wreck. It was very unexpected, and this place was the best place for me to distract myself, too. So it really is so heartwarming to know that you feel like this is a place where you can come and kind of set your grief down and talk about some wrestling with us. That's very much the intent of a community like this. So
Kitty's always there, you. By the way. So
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's a rough one, but I don't doubt that you gave that cat the best life ever.
Yeah. And if you were sitting here watching with your cat, you kind of get to see some awesome clavicles too. So yeah. Your cat's probably like, meow.
Not everything is about your clavicle.
It's always about me, Kate. Alex. I don't know if you knew this, okay? 3 years later, it's about the clavicles.
You said, put some respect on my name.
Put some respect behind these clavs.
Do you have anything you want to say about Hayes and R-Truth? It was set up in kind of a funnier segment than we get from R-Truth. I felt like this was a little bit more clever of...
Yeah, like R-Truth is still doing his thing. You know, 50 years into WWE, he's still kind of kicking the ball around. But big shout out to R-Truth, who slid into my brother's DMs. They might be working a little something to get a little music. Oh. So, you know, yeah.
Hates name dropping. You're like Triple H saying he hates attention.
I would never stand in the middle of the ring inside of curtains playing a package, waiting for the curtains to go down.
All these other Bluetooth segues, man. Damn it. Carmelo Hayes beats R-Truth. I will say I liked the setup for this better because it wasn't like R-Truth being as like mentally ill as just misunderstanding here. Yeah. Carmelo Hayes being like, I am him. And he's like, no, you're Carmelo Hayes. Tozawa is Tozawa. And he's like, no, last week I showed him I am him. And he's like, no, you're not him. Yeah, you're you. I actually thought this was kind of cute. And the Archer stuff isn't always the most for me, though he's an incredibly talented performer and very, like, it's not his timing that I have issues with most of the time.
I feel like he's he does his thing. I don't think anyone writes for him. I just think he shows up whenever he wants to. I don't think they ever have anything for him. He inserts himself into the show and it works. And I love it.
He has an incredible feel for what he's doing, regardless of like if you like it or not. Like he's great at it. But I like the segment more than I like him thinking DIY is like DX. Like I liked this a little bit more because it was more like who's on first to me than it was like this guy's DeLulu. So I had fun with that setup, but my God, put Carmelo Hayes back in something meaningful. I don't understand how, like, he had a best of seven. He killed it.
Don't try to make sense of it. Don't try to make... Don't stop.
It's our job.
Stop.
That's literally our job. Nope, let's move on to anymore. Something that makes all the sense in the world. I was also worried about feeling fatigued about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, but pulled me back in.
Okay? Did they?
Yes. Sami Zayn from his hotel room says basically what you said and what a lot of us have thought, like, it's almost comical how many times Kevin Owens turned on me in my career. Or he says, or I turned on him, however you view it, right? But he says that Kevin Owens didn't, like, turn on him. He tried to end his career. Like, this time it was different. He tried to end his career. His neck is not okay currently. And he thought being there for someone in a world championship match meant, I don't know, making sure you don't kill yourself on a ladder, Kevin Owens, when you're doing all these insane spots. Checking in on you, showing up, being a good friend. But to Kevin Owens, it means if you don't help manipulate the outcome, you're not really my friend. And I love that he in this promo escalated it by saying, yes, it's silly how many times this guy's turned on me and I've gone back to him. But this time, this was not like an argument that we can work through. This is different this time. This is not, we're not on the same page. This is not, we can't coexist. This isn't like, you tried to end my career this time. And he says, I don't know when I'm going to be cleared, but it's not going to be pretty for you when I am. And Kevin Owens goes, huh, not doing well. I've been stabbed in the back by 3 guys who I thought I would take a bullet for. I don't care if you're clear or not. Elimination Chamber, it's you and me. And I feel like these 2 guys on their cell phones from their hotel room and their car have done more compelling work than like 90% of all of wrestling. Like, I am, the authenticity with these, the way these guys speak is art to me. I am now, I was never out on this because they're 2 of my favorite performers, but I understood where you were coming from and felt it a little bit too of like, how many times have we seen this?
Sure.
But Sami Zayn just being like, no, this was a different level. This was not us being in an argument that we can't get through. Like, my goodness, I loved what we got out of this. And it was just little cell phone promos. Like, these guys are soulmates. They're destined to do this day. It's Valentine's Day. Don't you want to spend it with your wrestling soulmate? I was all in on this. How did you feel?
Yeah, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, what are they going to say? How are they going to put this together? What are we doing here? I'm gonna suspend myself from feeling fatigued and seeing this since there were babies fighting on the playground. You know, all the way till today. Sure. And just kind of see maybe what this version is going to look like. Why is it more psychological? Sure. In the last couple of times that they've gone after each other, it's been very brutal in the sense of like physicality from NXT all the way now to the main roster. Like, they've just had battle after battle. Like, they just don't like each other at times, like brothers.
Yes.
But if this is
this time, yeah.
But yes, because brothers fight. Brothers will always fight. It'll get physical, tussle. You love each other, and you're going to go have some Tim Hortons together. But this here could be a little more psychological. And if it's going to go that way, where you're playing head games with each other and you're going to start bringing, you know, poking the bear without having too much physicality, this could work.
Yeah, I am open-minded and I am intrigued to see what comes out of this. And there are some things that are like Triple H hallmarks. And I don't feel like he should go too overboard on some of them, because some of them I think are outdated. But there are a few things that feel like the Attitude Era. And I say feel because I wasn't watching then. Just observations of what I know of
the Attitude Era. How dare you not watch?
I wasn't. I didn't start watching until way later. But the idea that you can have problems with multiple people at one time felt very much like that. Like in the Attitude Era, everybody had a problem with everybody. And I like that that's back. And I also like, man, you're just my lifelong rival as long as we do this. I feel like you need one or two of those. And I feel like Kevin Owens re-signing, Sami Zayn being locked in, like, you can rely on that. You can rely on that. So I appreciate those kind of, like, HBK and Triple H, right? Forever rivals. I feel like that's what we're lining up here. Lee Biscuit saying, KO's drive-through promo gimmick rules on so many levels. He in an interview said, like, my house is just chaotic, so I cut promos in my car. Like, he's got six cats, which we know from Jeremy Lambert and his incredible headline. He's got kids. Like, he was like, I just do it because it's quiet in there. But my, that dude could deliver a promo anywhere. Like, he's,
yeah,
he's the best. He's the best. Guys,
get kinda, your super chat. We kind of like him a little bit here.
I have, it's Valentine's Day. Kevin Owens, if he was my Valentine.
Guess I'm not your Valentine. I'm going to bed.
You start delivering promos like that, you will be.
How deliver whatever you want.
Gen Z do it. How do they do it? Is it just this?
Wow, did she just really say, oh, hold on, let me see if my arthritis allows me to do this.
But there's like, they do this, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to do it. Is it? No.
Yeah, it's that's like what this. It is. I just don't want to throw the wrong gang sign up and have people showing up at my
that would be bad. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin Owens is my Valentine. No big deal. We move on.
Wow.
To Chelsea versus Naomi. Why all are people with mid-card titles challenging for the or trying to get into Elimination Chamber? It's stupid.
Single one of them.
These women's titles have had no love. They clearly, it feels like they've had no plan except Michin. That was the plan for both women's titles. They should not be trying to get into Chamber. It also telegraphs the endings of these matches. Naomi wins with the X Factor. There was an attempt at the Unprettier at the end that got a little messy, but the X Factor looked great from Naomi. No surprise she wins there. I am so tired of watching Naomi be in contenderships for things and not win. They better freaking pay that off at some point. Like, she better get pissed off that Bianca wins Chamber if Bianca wins Chamber. I'll put it that way. Like, this is getting exhausting watching Naomi be the bridesmaid and never the bride. And they have not made that a story. They need to make that a story. Like, it, they hinted at it with Bayley, but then they didn't go in that direction. So, credit to the performers. They were great. Match was solid. Knew who was going to win. Silly that that we had this anyway. Silly that Chelsea Green was even a part of this. Though I love seeing her on my screen, and I loved her Wonder Woman gear.
Yeah, she kills it all the time. She's out there doing her thing. It's good to kind of change things up a little bit. We've kind of seen every type of match with the same four people now when it comes to Chelsea Green, unfortunately. But yeah, it's... You know, I know I'm pretty sure we'll get into it next. It's just the whole, you know, the whole now 6 months later, we have footage of what happened backstage or what we think is footage. Like, which story are we going to tell with Naomi, right? Are we going to tell the story of her being upset because she's not getting her opportunities? Are we telling the story of, like, I'm a true blue friend and this is what I'm here for, you know? And could we possibly be seeing a feud, maybe Jade comes back with Jade and and Naomi, because no one had her back, and she took her opportunity. Like, she took her spot. She couldn't freaking wait for her to come back. Like, you went in and just took it, bruv. Like, who are you? You know? And we can see all of that happening. I mean, I'm good with it, man.
This is the other aspect of it. Shouldn't Naomi get a title shot at Chelsea?
No,
I would think so.
No. That's
she beat the champion tonight.
That's called common sense. Stop it.
Stop pinning champions. That is common sense. But since you brought it up, let's talk about this backstage with Naomi and Bianca in the most poorly run investigation of all time.
Oh, poorly.
An anonymous source sent in a tip, finally, like 4 months after this thing started, that shows Liv Morgan and Raquel walking away from the aftermath of the attack on Jade. Nick does say this doesn't prove anything, but he's going to talk to Adam Pearce, and Naomi and Bianca say, duh, yeah, if we knew this was the case. I feel like Liv and Raquel are champions going into Mania, so right. that Bianca is free to face Rhea, and then there's some sort of swerve. I think it was never Raquel and Liv, and we find out it was X all along. Yeah. But what that does is keep Jade out of your WrestleMania picture. So I don't know what that looks like unless she comes back to cost someone or attack someone or something. Like, if Rhea retained over Bianca, Jade shows up after, and it was Bianca all along or something. Well, it can't be Bianca. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. How did you feel about this? I feel like it's taken way too long for them to make very minimal progress on this investigation.
I gotta say this. We got the CM Punk footage before we got the Jade footage, which is kind of nuts, right?
Oh, no.
So, yeah, I mean, is it worth it now? Is it worth it telling this story? Or were they just like, hey, we're running out of shit. Ooh, excuse me. We're running out of poop.
Running out of S.
I said the poop word. We're running out of things to kind of, you know, elongate this story. And if you too want to elongate your story, no, I'm just kidding. But
so,
yeah.
So many. I really.
I know.
You know what?
We dropped the ball. And if you too.
I hit the blue chew segue too quick. And if you don't want to go too quick, you have to get blue chew. It's all this vicious cycle.
It's all coming. Oh, cycle. God. No, stop.
Oh, no. Let's move along. Let's close out the show with some tag team developments. Pretty Deadly are in the back with Byron, and they are going to get their tag team title match next week. They're feeling great about this and say that they're done being underestimated by DIY, who wander over to them and are just disappointed. Ciampa is just gaslighting them. But I'm excited because Pretty Deadly, when they've had time, one of the benefits of 3 hours is we get to see longer tag matches. They've really showed out. They've really showed out when they've been in the ring. I know you love them. They're your brethren in clavicles. They're kind of the opposite, actually. They kind of only cover their clavicles and nothing else. So it's like a yin and a yang.
But it's nice. A mesh clavicle thing that we got. We, because we're friends, name dropping.
Of course. Yeah.
You know. It's all about the clav, baby.
You're basically the same as Elton Prince. But
I am the third clavicle brother there.
Will saying, do you think they slow play the Jade stuff because they didn't know when she was going to be cleared? I think that's very possible. And I also think it's very possible that they might have had a different end game and then realized they want Bianca in a singles match at Mania against Rhea. So I think perhaps this got delayed or pivoted because they wanted, as the road to WrestleMania started to shape up, they said, we got to finally deliver this Rhea and Bianca match, and I'm all for that. So I think the payoff is going to be underwhelming, but I'm okay with it if it gives me the other thing that I want. How do you feel about it?
I'm with you 100%. Give me the other thing that I want. I love the way you phrased it. Give me one, the other thing that I want. You just start your own promo now.
Give me that other thing on that other show. I want
that other thing, or if I don't get that other thing, put other things will happen.
Put some respect on the thing that I want. But coming down the home stretch.
Kate's going off today, man. I love this.
It's Valentine's Day.
I love Valentine's. Well, Valentine's Day is over. It's post Valentine's Day. I am sorry to everyone and all the side pieces. Today is your day.
True love has been abandoned.
And today's National, you better tip that room cleaner a lot of money day.
Alex!
What? It is.
It's somebody's birthday now in the chat. I think it's Tom LaValle's. Happy birthday, Tom LaValle. We've had a couple of birthdays tonight. We had
people
Vicky.
Are nasty.
I love it. I love it. Look, you're getting scolded.
I didn't say it's Luis literally
gonna
everywhere.
Ban you from your
oh
own
my!
Show.
I did not. First of all, I did not say anything. I did not imply anything. All I said is that. Okay,
something.
I that was not what. People go out, have dinner.
You insinuated, sir.
Bring the dinner back to the hotels if they're out and away. You know, come on.
It is guys. Also this national 75% off
see?
Of Valentine's Day.
There you go. Come on,
Bangling.
Guys. I can't
guys,
believe
coming
I'm getting scolded.
Down the home stretch, we're going to close out talking about Alex's favorite tag team of all time.
Stop it.
The Motor City Machine Gun versus Los Garzas, but we're closing out shortly. We did get a super chat earlier from Creative Hermit, which is just the most delightful handle. Thank you. Saying, I am heading to my first live SmackDown show in London next month. Do you think
nice.
Jacob Fatu will travel to Europe? Are we expecting any fun NXT call-ups or roster changes that may appear on the London SmackDown show? I do think... I don't know this, so... Like, bright lights disclaimer, this is not a report. I haven't heard anything from Sean. I haven't heard anything from anybody else. I don't know this to be true, but I think Jacob Fatu is probably cleared to travel out of the country. He is one of their hottest wrestlers going right now, so I would be shocked if he's not on those shows.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll get NXT call-ups between now and then. I'm trying to think of any British talent that are down there right now that might get called up, but they'll probably do like European talent on European shows. I don't know if there's anybody in NXT that will go over. They don't seem to want to bring Trick Williams up anytime like super imminently. I don't think like they would have Obafemi make the trip for that or anything like that. So I don't see any NXT talent going. But I bet you're going to get really, really fun shows. They love giving European crowds what they want. And you're just in an exciting time. So I hope you have so much fun.
Yeah.
You know what? Fraxium's a really good shout. They'll probably bring Fraxium over because they're the most exciting tag team maybe in wrestling right now, definitely in WWE, but not as exciting as the Motor City Machine Guns in Alex's opinion. I know they face Los Garzas tonight.
Again.
We get a skull and crossbones for the win, and we also get another excellent Street Profits video after and says they should be mad. Everybody's made them liars, and once Dawkins is fully cleared, they're going to put everybody else down. I love this. The tone of all of these is the two that we've seen have been so, so great. They've been acting happy while nothing is actually okay. They will show the world, and Lord have mercy on their souls because the prophets want the smoke. I like that they've turned their wildly over catchphrase into something that can be heelish now. But the presentation of these vignettes, this heel version of them works really well. For the love of God, unleash Montez Ford to the world. It is egregious to me that we have the Street Profits and we have the Creeds and they hardly ever wrestle and they never wrestle each other. That is a dumb. But let's get these guys moving. They look great. I'm excited. Once Angelo Dawkins is cleared, let's rock and freaking roll with these fellas. Them beating DIY, it's heel on heel, but I think it could happen. I hand it over to you for your thoughts on this match, which I know you're a fan, and vignette after.
These young upstarts are doing pretty well for themselves.
I think they're doing all right. Maybe more time in NXT, but they'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to see those Garces on screen, so that's good. They're getting more screen time than they ever have before.
They have. God, they need to do something with them. Powerful.
They need
powerful.
To do something with Santos. Like, I'm very it's confused. Just... I don't know if I legit, I'm like, is he injured? Because I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's just, I'm not even going to get into it. I already have enough back end conversations back and forth trying to figure things out, and it reeks my brain because with all the things happening, we should be pushing certain people. But anyway, when it comes to what the Street Profits are doing, I feel like that is a direct like shot at the fact that, you know, the Hearst Syndicate is gone and they reunited and they're tough and they're doing their own vignettes and they're like killers, and they should have been doing that with the Street Profits there, but somehow because they dropped the ball, now they're handing that to the Street Profits to be that tough, you know, team that'll just beat your ass. So
this felt like the direction they were initially trying to go with Bobby Lashley, and then the crowd turned Bobby Lashley face and then he left the company. So this feels like where they were a while ago, but not in a bad way. Like, it feels like this is the most intentional creative support they've had in a very long time. So I am excited.
I'm not against it. I'm just kind of seeing something happening on the back end. They're like, where was this ever? Forever. They were with the Hurt Business. If this would have been the way that the Hurt Business and them would have been treated together, my God.
Take over the world kind of shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord. They would have been easily, I would have dropped any tag team or any trails team or whatever, and that would have been my team. Wherever they went.
You know what's interesting about this is Montez Ford doesn't fit the profile that WWE puts menacing people in. Meaning, like, he put on a lot of muscle. Sorry to my cousin who is in love with Bianca Belair, but like, he looks great. His moveset and the way he goes about business is very attractive to a crowd. Meaning, not like, oh, he's so attractive, good looking fella, but like, people want to root for that guy. So the idea that they're actually putting a risk on Montez, when I think when he was doing that stuff as a heel with Bobby Lashley, he was doing a really good job of making his in-ring fit this heel persona. So I'm excited because it's not like Montez Ford needs help on the mic. He's great. Angelo Dawkins, also very good. So I'm intrigued to see where this goes. I hope they give it the love that it deserves because Montez Ford deserves the world. Like, he's just... he is ridiculous. But Alex, before we get off of here, we had some releases last week. And at the time, it was not confirmed that your Valentine, Isla Dawn, was released. But
broke me.
Yeah. I wanted to give you, we can have a moment of silence if you want.
I just want to tell everyone right now during my moment of silence that I did mourn.
It's not what
I'm
silence
still
is.
I'm still mourning. Well, you guys could be in silence. I am the mourner, so I will be speaking.
Okay.
Just to know that talented, multi-talented, strong, iconic, heroistic woman champion that she is, my ad, beautiful, will no longer be gracing our spookiness love on television. At least for the foreseeable future, where she was at. And I've written her many letters, none which she has probably read.
I've written her many letters.
Many, many letters. And quite frankly, I don't know if she's gotten them. Maybe because I see RTS return to sender back in my mailbox. But anyway...
Well, since we're talking about our favorites, I will also just say that I was very upset about the release of Duke Hudson. He's been one of my favorites for a long time.
Yeah.
But I will also go ahead and take a victory lap and say I was getting right. Because if you go to his social media, he's 6'5" with several eyes on
like
social media. Yeah, he legit. Both of you are like, hi.
No.
he's doing some really, really compelling vignettes right now. And he is such a natural talker. Like, there's not that many that are that natural. He reminds me, I feel like Edge, Adam Copeland. That type of natural talking. My goodness. I've been blown away by it. So I just wanted to say, number one, I was right. Duke Hudson rules. But number two, like, quite legitimately... he's doing some really compelling post-release work right now, and I would encourage you to go support it and check it out because it's very substantive and really, really interesting stuff. So go follow Duke Hutton. That was my long-winded way of saying that. But it's time for us to wrap up. There's 7,220 of you watching, so I don't want to say goodbye.
We love you all.
We do have this final super chat to close us out from the wonderful Elite Biscuits, who says, RIP the spooky Scottish witches. Both them and Alice deserve better. It really is.
It's still an open wound. I would like for everyone to be extremely careful with what they say. You guys can hit up my Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. You guys want to...
I'm the one getting like the new computer and lights and phones and stuff around here, okay? Venmo me. But wow. Just saying, no. Save your money for Super Chats for next week. How about that? But
yeah, that's guys, true. Yeah, do that.
We are going to get out of here. Before Alex plugs his stuff, I do just want to say we will have a Grand Slam Collision post show tomorrow starting late. That's going to be Iridian, I think all three of them. I think Iridian, Cresta, and Rick are going to be around. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure all three will be there. And Alex Pulowski and myself will have your Vengeance Day post show. We'll probably be wrapping up like halfway through Collision, unfortunately. So I am so excited about tomorrow's day of wrestling. There's some really interesting stuff going on both brands. So before we get out of here, Mr. Cardoza.
You guys can follow me on everything I do on alexiscardoza.com, where you can find absolutely all of my beautiful links that you can click on. I've gone on a really weird TikTok journey as of late, which has my TikTok account blossoming. For those of you who don't know, I also used to talk a lot of politics. I've taken a lot of political science classes in college. I did debate teams back in the day because I'm a nerd. So I kind of just, because of this weird things that are happening in Latino culture, I thought that maybe as a veteran, I can speak up and talk a little bit on there. And it's working. It's weird. Like, the community and people. So if you guys want to go into alexiscardoza.com. I have two different TikToks because we know that sometimes TikToks get taken down because the algorithm might not favor something you say, even though it's not nasty or negative or in a bad way being put out there. But yeah, follow both. I would love for you all to go check it out. And yeah, we're doing the thing here on Friday nights with Kate.
Hell yeah, we are. Hell yeah. You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. My own channel is getting dusted off again. I've been... quite frankly, doing more stuff at Fightful. So been postponed a little bit, but happy to be growing my role here and excited for some more stuff. There's going to be some, if you're a fan of extremely silly content, my Instagram, Miss Kate Fabe, is going to have some extremely silly content coming to it sooner than later. So you can find me over there, but support Fightful this weekend if you are looking for more places to analyze and talk about wrestling. We will have those Vengeance Day and Collision post shows for you. Also, stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. We'll see you next week.